pray.
All right, we're going to sing a chorus real quick. One I've taught before, one I've showed you. We learned it from camp, so I need you guys to help me with it. So you're going to read back what you see, if I'm correct. You guys are going to read back to me what's in black when I say what's in white. Oh, church, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, we love Jesus.
Do you really love Jesus?
Yes, we really love Jesus.
Tell me why you love Jesus.
This is why we love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Let's do it one more time. Oh, church, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, we love Jesus.
Do you really love Jesus? Tell me why you love Jesus.
This is why we love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Brother Larson.
Yes, sir.
This is a tough crowd right here.
I know.
Because they were slurping, now they're going to be burping. And if they fall asleep, this side has most of the snores on it, I think. But anyhow. Amen? Amen. Blessing, Sunday school was a blessing, church was a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
And it's all Bible. It's not all hype. It's not hype. Right? He wasn't here to psych us up. He was here to give us the word. Amen? Now, if you get psyched up because of the word, that's another thing. Amen? Come on, brother.
I want to share a quick faith promise story with you, if I can. I was out in Kansas City, and a young man in the church came to me, and he said, Brother Larson, he said, do you like faith promise stories? And I said, yeah, I like them. And he said, let me tell you what happened last year. And he worked for an industrial firm there, a company, a manufacturing company in the Kansas City area. He said, last year, he said, we came to Faith Promise Missions time, and he said, the Lord was really impressing upon my wife and I to step out by faith and really increase our faith promise a good amount. He said, I don't know. He said, I really hesitated for a little bit. Then he said, no, I felt that God wanted us to do it. So he said, and I'll be honest, he said, you know, it was a stretch. He said, but God enabled us every single week to not only give our tithe, but to give our faith promise. He said, at the end of the year, in November, he said a memo went circulating around the factory, and it said this. It said, because we have had a record year in sales, if you've given to a nonprofit organization this past year and can prove that you did, we will match what you gave. And so he got excited. He motioned the foreman over, and he said, does that mean my church? And he said, well, I guess so. I'll go check. And he went up and checked, and the office came back. Said, yeah, if you've got proof. He was excited. He called his treasurer that night, and he got the proof. And that last Sunday of last year, he was able to drop in a check that doubled his tithe and doubled his faith promise. He said, I know now why God was wanting me to really stretch. Because he was going to take what I could trust him to do, and he was going to bless it. Now, that may not happen to you, but you know, some blessings are not always monetary, right? Huh? Yeah. But I thought that was a great story, and I appreciated him sharing that. His name is Matt. Matt Pringle, just like the potato chip. And he said it really, really helped us, he said, in our walk with the Lord, just to trust him and believe him and obey him. And so let me challenge you with that, okay? Let's take our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. I want to encourage you this afternoon on what has already taken place today and what will be taking place this month. And I want you to look at Ephesians. This is kind of an unusual passage. I've never preached this message before. Yeah, yeah. But preacher, I did get the green light last night from God. In fact, I got it this morning. So, okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Notice with me in verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Father, this afternoon now, thank you for the good time of fellowship, the meal. Lord, thank you for your word and how it encourages us, and Lord, how it motivates us and ought to mobilize us to, Lord, do what you have commanded us to do, but do it in a way, Lord, that with a joyful heart. And I pray that this month now would be just a banner month for Faith Independent Baptist Church. As each Sunday passes, as each speaker comes to speak, Lord, meet needs. Lord, I pray that you'd increase the faith promise giving here at the church. Lord, enable the church to maybe step out here in the near future and reproduce itself and plant another church. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you that we can be a part of what you're doing here upon this earth. And we'll pray now in Jesus' name, and we'll ask it for his sake. Amen. I want you to think about an Old Testament situation. I was thinking about the children of Israel last night and how when they came out of Egypt, how joyful they were and how filled with joy they must have been as they were able to leave slavery behind, and they had been witnessing the mighty hand of God at work. And it wasn't long before they came to the shores of the Red Sea. And, you know, there at the shores of the Red Sea, of course, they were probably 2 to 3 million strong at that point. And they knew that Pharaoh's soldiers were in hot pursuit. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, lift up your rod." And you know the story. The Red Sea parted like a wall-to-wall carpet, and they were able to go through on dry ground. And then, of course, you remember how the Egyptian soldiers came in pursuit, and they were all drowned. And, of course, it seemed like, you know, at that point, because at the Red Sea, they were challenged, and they began to murmur some, and they began to hesitate. And you'd think they'd learn their lesson after the Red Sea experience, but it wasn't long before they got to a place, I think it was 3 days later, they got to a place called Marah, and the water was bitter. Do you remember the story? Yeah. And, you know, they started, you know, hesitating again, finding fault with Moses, and, you know, there was a challenge here that they were facing. And so, you know, they were saying, "Lord, you brought us out here to kill us." And so God caused the water to be sweetened. They drank the waters. God met their need again. Now, you'd think they'd learn their lesson, but 2.5 months later, just 2.5 months later, they had nothing to eat. And so God rained down manna from heaven, and they were able to be taken care of. And then you get to a place in Exodus 17 where they're at a place called Rephidim, and the waters are bitter. And this time, man, the people of Israel are really being challenged, and They picked up stones, and they wanted to stone Moses. And the Bible says that Moses did something interesting in Exodus 17:4. The Bible says, "And Moses cried unto the Lord." You read that quite a bit as you watch Moses leading the children of Israel. By the way, that's a pretty good place to go to when things aren't going right, right? Cry unto the Lord. So the children of Israel were facing these challenges, and They didn't know exactly how to handle it, and their attitude changed, and they fell apart, and their reactions really stemmed from one thing, and that was unbelief. Unbelief was the real problem. And at that point, as I preached this morning, you know, Sometimes when we suffer from unbelief, when we suffer from that, we actually put God in a little box and we kind of put him aside and we say, well, you know what, God just can't do it anymore. And, you know, we're focusing this afternoon and this morning on church planting and on missions and so forth, and the command to reach our neighbors and this nation and indeed the world is, it's a huge challenge. I know it's a huge challenge, and there are circumstances and challenges just about on every mission field across the world this afternoon. But I'm so glad that God is bigger than our abilities. I'm so glad that God is bigger than our human reasoning. And I want you to see today in this passage in Ephesians chapter 3 here, notice with me in verse 20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able. Now, I looked up that word able in Mr. Strong's concordance, okay? And it comes from the Greek word dunamai, which we get our word dynamite from, okay? And so... It means powerful. It means to be possible. Think about the command we've been given, the Great Commission command we've been given, to not only reach our neighbors, but to see churches planted in the homeland and to evangelize our homeland and indeed the world. And you know, some people might say, well, Brother Bob, in this 21st century, it's just a task that's too big to handle. It's impossible to reach America. And I guess people may be referring to the large masses of people. Our population now in America, 326 million people. According to Gallup recently, they say 70% of our population. You know, religious surveys are kind of funny because many times when people are asked about their religion or about church attendance, they sprout wings and grow a halo, amen? But Gallup recently said this, 70% of our population has really no meaningful church connection. They may claim a church home, they may claim a certain denomination, but they very seldom attend the services of that church. So that means we're living on a mission field. If 70% of our population is either unsaved or unchurched, what is that? 220, mathematicians get your headgear on, 223 million? We're living on a mission field of 223 million people. It's amazing, isn't it? But I want you to just be encouraged this afternoon. Can I say this again? Our God is able. Our God is able. All things are possible. But accomplishing the Great Commission is really not depending upon our ability or our lack of ability. It doesn't depend upon the condition of the world or the nation or the attitudes that men have towards the Bible or towards God. You see, our supernatural God this afternoon wants to do a supernatural work. He wants to do that in this hour. It's imperative that we focus on achieving the impossible. Why? Because God can do it. God can do it. And I want you to look in the Bible quickly at Luke chapter 1 in verse 30. This is where the angel of the Lord appears to Mary and tells Mary that he is going to do great things through her. And look at verse 30 of Luke chapter 1. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive, and in thy womb bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. You see, our God is not bound. Our God is not bound by the laws of nature, ladies and gentlemen. He created the laws of nature. Our God is not bound this afternoon by conditions in America or conditions in the world for that matter. Nothing is impossible with God. And God is not finished this evening, this afternoon. He is not finished doing the impossible. When I think of the unreached towns, when I think of the unreached cities, I took a ride not too long ago in California and went up the 99 corridor in California. Some of you maybe traveled that route. It's an agricultural route, But on that route, there are many cities and towns in Central California. And you know, the pastor sounded like a broken record as we went from one city to the next city. And he kept on saying, as far as I know of no church in this community or a church in a 30-mile radius. We'd go to the next town, he'd say, as far as I know of no church in this community. Do you know there's only one independent Baptist church for every 134,000 people in the state of California this afternoon? New Jersey's second. California's number one, New Jersey's second. Only one independent Baptist church for every 102,000 people. And I could go right down the list, and Maryland would be towards the top of the list. But when I think of all the unreached cities, and I think of all the unreached towns in America, and how they need to hear about the Lord, when I think about the resources and the funding that it'll take to send a church planter, or to send church planters out to these different locations in these different cities, and the resources it'll take to get them there, not only to get them there, but to see them establish a church there, you know, sometimes, honestly, if I'm not careful, that word impossible starts creeping in. But I'm so glad that impossible is not a word in God's vocabulary. It's a word in our human vocabulary. But miracles are real, and nothing is impossible this afternoon with God. Amen. As Christians, we're called upon to accomplish impossible things. Why? Because we have a God who can accomplish impossible things. But to do that, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a couple of subpoints this afternoon. Number one, we have to realize the need. We have to realize the need. To accomplish the impossible, we need to realize that something needs to be done. And I think all of us in this room this afternoon, we're at that point where we realize, hey, something needs to be done in America. Wow. I don't know about you, but this is not the America I grew up in. This is a different America in the day in which we live. And I've stopped praying. Honestly, I have stopped praying, God bless America. You know what I pray these days? God, turn America around. God, give America her right mind back. We're living in a different America. And I'll tell you, we will never accomplish much unless we get motivated by the need. Hey, why is there a church on this property? Because years ago, a group of people saw there was a need. Hey, why do you meet here on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis? Why? Because you realize that there's a need in this community for a gospel-preaching New Testament Baptist church. It's important that this church not only stays here in this community, but proclaims the gospel and reaches out to this community. Hey, why is there a mission agency called Baptist International Missions? Because in 1960, there was a group of preachers that said, you know what? We need to try and help the missionaries get to the field and get them there quicker and help them while they're on the field. And so a group of pastors got together way back in 1960 and formed a mission agency called Baptist International Missions. Now, others had tried maybe and failed, but you know what? They realized that there was a need. How many of you have you seen a bumblebee flying around lately? I saw a bumblebee the other day. You know, aerodynamically, a bumblebee cannot fly. Did you know that? Their wings are too short. Their body is too big. Nobody told the bumblebee he can't do it. I saw all of them. I saw them all this past summer flying around, you see. With God, nothing is impossible. Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Boy, that's been the age-old problem, laborers. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We have to see that there's a need. When I think about America and I think about the tremendous need we have to get the gospel out to people, I'm afraid maybe many Christian Americans are just not lifting up their eyes and seeing the fields as they need to see the fields. We need to realize, as we sit here, these cities and towns, no one's going to reach them if I mean, honestly, you think about it, who's going to go there? I travel and I see the cults and I see the things they're doing. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of money the cults and the false religionists are spending in the United States. I mean, honestly, I go to the Phoenix Valley and I see one Mormon meeting place after another Mormon meeting place after another Mormon meeting place, and they're putting them up out there like McDonald's franchises out there, especially in the Mesa area. They have one of the largest not Masonic, but one of the hugest Mormon temples outside of Salt Lake City there in Mesa, Arizona. And my mind gets boggled, and I think about all the money that they're spending, and then I have to step aside. But they have nothing coming down from the God of lights above. They don't have the truth. They don't have the way. They don't have the life. We have a God of the impossible. And we have to trust Him and believe Him. You know, our population this morning or this afternoon in America is amazing. We have 37 million deaf people now living in America, 60 million Hispanic people, 47 million African Americans, 6.7 million Native Americans, 5.3 million Jewish people, 5 million Puerto Ricans. Do you realize that the population of Puerto Rico is only 3.6 million? We have more Puerto Rican people living here in America than in Puerto Rico. 4 million from India, 3.4 million Muslims, 2.5 million Chinese, 2.3 million Vietnamese, 1.8 million Koreans, 1.1 million Ukrainians, and the list goes on and on and on and on. God is bringing the mission field right to our doorstep. And so we have to remember that our God is the God of the impossible, and we have to realize the need. But then secondly, we have to resolve to do something. We can see the need day after day and year after year, but we have to resolve to do something. To accomplish the impossible, you and I have to resolve to do something. Something by God's grace to solve the problem. Sometimes I hear Christians say, well, I can't do anything. I can't do much. But, you know, everyone can do something. Everyone can give to Faith Promise missions. Everyone can increase their Faith Promise giving. We can all do something. Each of us ought to say, you know, with God as my helper, I can't do it all. I can't do everything, but I can do something with God as my helper. And He can enable me to reach my neighbor. He can enable me to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what you can't do. Just do what you can for God's glory. I was talking about Phoenix, Arizona. I was out there earlier this year, out with our West Coast church planters, and you know, it's a desert climate. It's hot. Years ago, you know, there was nothing growing around Phoenix at all, but somebody saw a need and they decided to do something, and so they started irrigating the land. Now you'd look out there, and it's nothing but desert. But when you put water to that desert, man, things begin to grow. And now you drive on the outskirts of Phoenix, Arizona, and you get out in the country, and man, there are fields of cabbage, and there are fields of wheat, and there are fields of corn and soybeans and commercial flowers and tomatoes. And I mean, the area is just producing. Why? Because somebody saw a need and they said, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. Those workers, they get out in the fields, and they get out very early in the morning because, you know, it gets so hot so early in the day. So they're out there at sunup or before sunup. Suppose they get out there to a field of, well, let's say 100 acres of cabbage. Now, here's a field of 100 acres of cabbage. Now, the workers could get out there in the morning and say, oh, man, this is too much. We can't possibly get this done. And they could actually sit at the end of the field and probably convince each other, look, this can't be done. Let's just go home. This is not going to work. We can't possibly get this cabbage all gathered in. No, what do? They start out and they have their boxes or they have their bags. And what are they doing? They're reaching for one cabbage at a time. They're not looking back at what they've already done. They're not looking ahead at all that needs to be done. But what are they doing? They're doing something. They're reaching for one cabbage head at a time. One cabbage head at a time. And you know what? You drive past that field a couple of days later, guess what? The whole field's picked. Why? Because they convinced themselves that it could be done. Now, they could convince themselves it can't, but they decided they were going to get it done. That's, you know, the worst thing in the world is to say, you know what? We just can't do anything. Determine that God has a place for you to serve Him. Determine you're going to get in that place where God wants you to be, for His honor and for His glory. And don't let what other people think, don't let what other people say stop you from doing something for God. When God has something on your heart that He wants you to do, you know, there will always be people who will tell you it can't be done. So don't let them stop you or discourage you. Just trust God, believe God, obey God. The great possibilities of our God. I could go on this afternoon. Let me just throw this at you. I want you to think about the poverty of our thinking, okay? The poverty of our minds. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 here. In verse 20 it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." God's ability is so way beyond our ability to even consider what he can do. The challenge is to think like God wants us to think. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For my thoughts," God says, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is so much smarter than us. He's so much smarter than you and I. And it's not our mission to bend our will to his. It's our mission, especially during Missions Month, it's our mission to elevate our thinking to his thinking. Okay? During a missions conference, we need to elevate our thinking to the way that he's thinking when it comes to reaching our neighbors and this nation and the world. My thoughts are so limited. Let's be honest. Our thoughts are limited by what we sometimes can see or what we think we can accomplish on our own. A missionary who learns a foreign language is an interesting study, because if he goes to a foreign country and he learns a foreign language and he learns it well, and he stays there and he speaks in that language and he thinks in that language and he preaches in that language and he teaches in that language. Oftentimes I've sat down with a missionary like that when I was pastoring especially, and I take him out to a meal, and it's amazing to me how sometimes a missionary who had been thinking in a different language and preaching and just speaking in that different language all those years comes back to the States. And I had a missionary one night at a table, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'm having a hard time reading this menu." He said, "Because I'm thinking, you know," and he was talking about the language that he had been speaking in for all those years. And he had a hard time comprehending what was on the menu. You know what my problem is? My problem sometimes is that I get to thinking in Larson, that's my last name, when I ought to be thinking like Jesus.
Amen. That's good.
Right? I mean, I have a hard time sometimes. Simple things sometimes can throw me. And Jesus wants me to transition from thinking in Larson to thinking like him. It says, according to the power, over here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us. That word worketh has the same meaning as the word effectual over in James chapter 5 and verse 16, where the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It means efficiently, it means actively, it means to put forth power. And so if I'm going to transition my own way of thinking concerning the lost, if I'm going to transition my own way of thinking concerning missions, if I'm going to transition my own way of thinking when it comes to reaching our nation through church planting and so forth, you know what? I've got to come to that place where I start thinking like Jesus is thinking. And the way I do that is I try as best I can to be humble before God and to live a spirit-filled Christian life. Not just 1 week or maybe just 2 weeks out of the year, but I try and live that spirit-filled life day after day after day, because I want that mind of Jesus. I want to be thinking like he wants me to think. I don't want to be thinking in Larson. I want to be thinking like Jesus. I was power washing my... I live in a little townhouse in Rossville, Georgia, right across the Tennessee line. And we got a little townhouse there, and we're able to lock it up and leave when we want to. And I got a little power washer preacher. It's an electric one. It's not real powerful, but it washes off the mold off the siding, you know, at the end of the year when mold kind of gathers. So I was out there last fall, and I had everything laid out, and I had everything ready to go. You know how it is, guys, when you're going to have a project. You know, you want everything right there, right? So I had everything laid out. I had all the brushes laid out. I had my soap. I had the pressure washer out there. I had the cord. And I went to start the thing, and it wouldn't even go. It wouldn't even do anything. It just nothing. And I got frustrated, and I'm looking at it, and I'm kicking it, and I'm trying to, you know, make it work. And so my wife calls me in for dinner. And so I said, okay, and I'll go in for dinner. So I went in. She had a sandwich made there, and I went in the back door. I said, man, that power washer, I tell you what, it's just about new. It isn't working. She said, well, did you plug it in? Well, yeah, I plugged it in. I know I plugged it in. Yeah, I plugged it in. Yeah, I went out the front door by the outlet. There sat the cord lying on the concrete. You know what our problem is a lot of times? God really wants to do the impossible, but you know what? We're just not plugged in, are we? We're just not plugged in. We got to see the need. We got to realize there is a need, but then we got to do something about it. There's some things far beyond us and our small way of thinking. Well, Brother Bob, in this day and time, you know, it's not going to be done. We need to stop that kind of thinking. So we have the possibilities of our God here. We have the poverty of our minds. Let me give you the last thing, okay, and I'm done. The purpose in our lives. Look at verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. See, the bottom line, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our service, when it comes to our prayer life, the bottom line is that God wants the glory. God wants the glory. We exist for his glory. We don't, you know, when you think about it, we don't exist for God's good. We exist for his glory. And sometimes for him to get the glory, he has to march us down the path of faith and bring us down the path of faith so that, you know, when we take that next step, it's not about us. It's not about how we maneuvered this whole thing. No, it's about God and what he did and how he met the need. And he gets the glory. And you know what? He wants the glory not just in our young lives and not just in middle age, but he wants the glory through our entire life and through all ages. In this 21st century that we live in, hey, God wants the glory. You say, well, you know, God did the impossible in the past for all those Bible characters. And he did the impossible for all of them, but, you know, the government's just too strong and the culture's just too rotten. Well, we can give human reason after human reason why it's just too tough to reach our world. But meanwhile, God is saying, hey, I'm not done. I'm still able. Will you trust me? Will you believe me? Our God of the impossible. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this afternoon, we thank you, Lord, that it certainly isn't about our abilities or lack of ability. It isn't about the culture in which we live in. It's about trusting you and letting you get the glory. And Lord, may our thinking be elevated to your thinking. May your people's thinking be elevated to your thinking during this missions month. And Lord, I realize that above all that we can even imagine, you can do far beyond what we can think. So Lord, help us to trust you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Let's stand for a minute, just heads bowed, eyes closed. Did God speak to your heart? Maybe he spoke to your heart about something today. Maybe something personally. Just maybe you want to pray about your missions giving, giving tracts. Whatever God lays on your heart. We're all at different areas in our life. We all have different paths of life. One God and one word. I thought about that phrase, world without end. And you know, everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. Eternal souls will spend eternity somewhere. You're speaking to a person, that's going to spend eternity somewhere. have any more offering, stop by and see Brother Arnold. And grab some tracts. Amen. If you're not motivated to give out tracts after you saw that video, go to the doctor and see if your heart's beat. But, man, that's exciting what a tract could do. Hey, let's close in prayer. Brother Pete, Miss Faye's home. She's not feeling well with her knee today, so pray for her. But Brother Pete, close for us in prayer. Amen.